Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Why don't you walk with me here around the back and see who we have in the Outdoor Living Hour. Looks like we've got Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. We'll be talking trees. Let me call him down out from his pruning as he makes his way down and comes to the microphone. For all of our listeners, this is Rosie on the House. If you're new to the broadcast, we're a four-hour Saturday morning radio program. Our first hour, 7 o'clock, is not carried by the entire state, and we actually organically started running a contest. So let me rehash that contest so all of our listeners have the opportunity to participate. We have, here at Rosie on the House, come to a new, have rededicated ourselves to American-made products. And in the search for our Western apparel for our clothing, we found Kimes Ranch Apparel. Not only are they American made, but the Kime family is right here from Arizona. So we have them in the studio. They brought some hats and some bags down for us to distribute at our will. And what we're doing is all you, the listener, have to do is text your favorite American made product to 411-923. Between now and the end of the broadcast at 11:56:50, all those entries will draw randomly. We've got 10 gifts to give away. But here's the kicker. You're going to be disqualified if it's not American, so do your homework. There's some of our listeners obviously weren't listening to the broadcast because one of the first answers was Wrangler jeans. No, Wrangler jeans aren't American made. That's what I was wearing and what we had to go find to replace it. If they bring their manufacturing and their textiles back to America, probably buy Wranglers again. But for now, it's all Kimes, and in fact, actually, I'm getting so used to these Kimes, I think the Wrangler might have lost me forever here in the jean world. So you do your homework. They're not scrolling through some of these. We've got some great answers. Airstream Harley-Davidson, there you go. Canyon Coolers, you know what? And Yeti, I got to call you all out on that. Yeti's China-made. Canyon Coolers are Taiwan. Canyon Coolers, Jason's a great guy. Flagstaff native, made them for the Grand Canyon River Runners. Canyon Coolers are great coolers. We've got three of them to keep our crawfish cool. But they are from Taiwan is where they're manufactured. There is an American-made cooler of that Yeti-type, Canyon Cooler-type thickness. I'm actually trying to look it up. We found them at the National Hardware Show. There's just no distributor in Arizona yet. So do your homework. Verify the product you're testing in is American-made. You'll be entered to win. All that said and done, I just wanted to open that contest up to all of our listeners because only two of our six radio affiliates carry the 7 o'clock hour, and I wanted to make sure everyone had the opportunity to participate, and it's a great opportunity for us to learn about new American-made products. The Hidden Woodsman, never heard of them, looking forward to checking them out. You wouldn't believe how many instant reactions were knives and guns. We've got Cutco knives, we've got Benchmade knives, we've got Dillon Reloaders. Dillon's actually here in Scottsdale, right on the north side of the runway. Someone said Ruger pistols. Now, are Arizona made? I'm going to correct you. We've actually tried to get Ruger before, but their rifles are made in Prescott. Their pistols are made in New Jersey. As far as I know, that's how it is. But that still qualifies. The pistols aren't Arizona made, the rifles. All that said and done, let's get to John Eisenhower. We're talking trees. He's broadcasting live from Flagstaff. Has special guest Larry Phillips of, I believe it's Super Tree, correct?
Yes, Romy, we're broadcasting today from Northern Arizona University campus, where we held the tree climbing competition here in 2014, I believe it was. And yes, I have my friend Larry Phillips with me, too, of Super Tree. He's agreed to come alongside me today as a co-host here on the show. We have we both attended an edible trees workshop here in Flagstaff yesterday, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about edible trees today. I know you covered quite a bit of that last week in your outdoor segment, which I listened to attentively because I love Greg Peterson and Kari Spencer, and they just did a great job. We got some more information on edible trees yesterday in the seminar, and we'll touch on some of those highlights. If listeners today have questions about trees at different elevation levels, Larry's here to talk to you about trees in the high country. I can talk about trees in the low desert, And between the two of us, we can answer your questions regarding any tree questions you might have. If you have questions about edible trees, too, or about fire-wise safety for your property in any part of the state, we want to have you go ahead and feel free to call in. Also, we have a couple of websites and some other information on resources for you. So if you want to get out a pencil and paper as you're listening today, now would be a great time to do that, because we'll be giving you some important information down the road, and we want you to be ready to jot that information down.
And Larry Phillips is a Flagstaff arborist, so not only do we have everyone in the desert covered for tree questions, but we've got all the way up to the peak of basically
San Francisco peaks.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say the highest city in Arizona, but that's not true. I think Alpine has the Flagstaff by
highest
a little bit.
Elevation.
But the highest elevations covered. We got all elevations of Arizona covered.
Larry, thanks for coming today. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome, John. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about what our tree of the month should be, and there's no question that the tree of the month should be the ponderosa pine. This city in Flagstaff sits at the hub of the largest contiguous ponderosa pine forest in the world. It stretches from the border of New Mexico all the way to the Grand Canyon. And Flagstaff, interestingly, is just about in the center of that big span of forest. And also, the ponderosa pine grows between 6,000 and 8,000 feet, and Flagstaff being at 7,000, again, is right at the center of that. This city hosts this large forest of ponderosa pines, and today we're kind of celebrating that awesome tree. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Larry. You know, what do you do up here in Flag, and what's your we want you to kind of weigh in a little bit on the state of the forest right now. What's going on up here with the fire difficulties?
Well, again, I'm Larry Phillips. I'm the owner of Super Tree Service, and I've been a certified arborist for the last 16 years, and have quite a bit of firefighting experience also over the last 40 years, 9 fire seasons. The state of the forest, if you will, is, you know, it's still in a drought situation since 1996. Various estimates put the shortage of precipitation at about 170 inches cumulative since 1996 for the Flagstaff area. And that really stresses the trees being in high desert like it is. With that much water and precipitation not available, it really, again, stresses the trees and makes them more susceptible to bark beetle infestation and mortality from that. So we need water, and we need the drought to end, but who knows when that's going to happen, of course.
Well, I heard that today is what do they call it, a red flag day?
Yeah, it's a red flag warning has been posted. It's for high winds and low humidity. So if there's any kind of ignition source, whether it's human-caused or otherwise, then there's a excellent chance of the fire getting out of control very quickly, and it really taxing firefighting resources. So it's very, very critical for people to be very careful with fire of any kind of ignition source, and be real heads up for any smoke on the horizon that they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we've had a lot of really serious fires over the last couple of decades. We were part of the Dude Fire. I remember that we were actually camping at the East Verde when that fire broke out that day. And then, of course, we were all a part of the Rodeo Chetiskay Fire. I was serving on the board of the Arizona Community Tree Council when that fire occurred. And we were part of the large reforestation effort going forward several years after that. What can people do in their homes in and around the Flagstaff area or in some of these mountain communities where it's still a bit of a tinderbox? What can they do around their homes to keep things safe?
Well, basically, you want to make the property firewise. And that's firewise doesn't mean it's not going to burn, but firewise means it's much better able to survive a wildfire should it be in the area. And with that being the case, you can don't necessarily have to clear 30 feet, quote unquote, right around the building, or exposures as it's called. Exposures are anything that's human made, houses, fences, that kind of thing. But you want to keep the flammables away and have a lot of passive measures that if the flammables are cleared 10, 20, 30 feet, depending on the slope, depending on a lot of other factors, then your property has a much better chance of surviving a wildfire, along with other measures that need to be taken to make the property firewise too.
Yeah, the Forest Service has done a lot out in the open forest to try to thin areas, and also the state and the federal government have been doing a lot to try to provide these safe distances out from our major cities, so that if we do have a fire like we had last year that came up 89A from Sedona, it topped out and then it burned out because of a lot of the clearing efforts that had gone on for several years prior to that. So homeowners are contributing to that overall effort by at least having their own property a safe distance from their house, the removal of ladder fuels and some of the grasses and some of the smaller shrubs that can ignite and cause the flames to be hotter and higher. And you're trying to prevent those flames from getting up into the lower branches of some of our taller trees. And then, of course, they'll go right to the top of the trees and what they call crowning out. And then the fire's in a serious condition, because then the flames are traveling at 40, 50, 60, 80 feet above the forest floor from treetop to treetop. And if you can keep that fire on the ground, moving through just some of the grass, it'll creep through the forest and it won't burn the trees, but it'll just move through. And that's what we're looking for around your homes as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right, John. The biggest thing is to keep that fire on the ground. Should there be a lightning strike and you have a ground fire from that, or for whatever reason, with that being the case, you've got to really make the property firewise so the fire stays on the ground, and then the firefighting resources can better able fight the fire and protect exposures.